how many of you know that he can provide for you a safe house and put food on the table, but it does not make that place a home? I wish I could tell you that there are worse things than being homeless. Try living in a house with a man who don't want you. How many of you know that you can live in a 10 by 10 studio apartment with candles and bologna, but if love lives in your house, then it's truly a happy home? I wish I had time to tell you that one of the worst things you can live under in your house is a house full of conditional love. The idea that I have to perform in order to be rewarded, kind of like Quizarama. If I don't perform, I won't be rewarded. I'm glad I serve a God who accepts me, whether I get 90 points or 900 points. I'm glad I serve a God who accepts me for who I am and not as I should be. But I'm caught up in this love affair, and I'm sleeping with the enemy. And I say to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my man? That you took away my husband? Will you take away my son's mandrakes too? Very well. He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. I need those fertility treatments. I will make an exchange with you. It almost feels like a reality show that I don't get paid for. Medea ain't got nothing on me. The only thing worse than loving a man who doesn't love you is loving a man who loves someone else. Scratch that. The worst thing is loving a man who doesn't love you. A thing worse is a man who doesn't love you but loves your sister. I think that maybe if I'm thinner or maybe if I exercise, maybe if I give the brother some children, maybe he will love me for me. I have to change so he can give me intimacy. I wish he would see me. I wish he would love me. I wish he would cherish me and hear me, accept me, pay attention to me. I don't want child support. I want you to be my prince. Brother, can you give me something? I've been kissing frogs, hoping that he'll turn into a prince, but to no avail. The situation is not getting any better. And if I leave, I'll be a single mother with four kids. I'll never be able to get a man if I leave. Someone reminded me that my grandmother Sarah had a mistress named Hagar. She was the first single parent in your Bible. She was thrown away like yesterday's trash. But when Abraham threw her out, God did not forget her. When she was in the desert with her baby son, wondering how was she going to put food on the table, God told her two things. He said, I see you and I got you. The first thing that God said to the single mother was, I see you. When Hagar was a single mother with a newborn baby living in a hostile environment, she went to the desert weeping, and she left with a newborn baby with no money, no job, no marketable skills, no diapers, no formula, no blankets to protect him from the hot days and the cold nights. She was in the desert, thrown away by a jealous wife. But God came to the desert, and he said, I see you. He might not take care of you. He may have thrown you out, but I see you. You find yourself in a difficult situation, but God says, I see you. And then she declared in Genesis 16:31 that he is the God who sees, because I have seen the one who sees me. And I begin to think in my mind, if he has his eye on the sparrow, then surely he watches me. God says he sees me. He sees me working hard. He sees me going to school. He sees me bouncing from babysitter from baby daddy. And my mother trying to put up with me. But instead of putting up with me, she's putting me down. And the baby's grandmother buying him clothes that I can't afford and judging me for it. God says, I see you. Not only does God say, I see you, but when Ishmael becomes a teenager and sent away, God says, I got you. God tells single mothers, I see you. But he tells children of single mothers that I got you. In Genesis 21, verse 16, the Bible says, when she went off and sat down about a bowshot away, for she thought, I cannot watch my son die. And as she sat there, she began to cry. And the son begins to cry. And God hears the young boy crying. And the angel of God calls out to Hagar, don't be afraid. I have heard the young boy's crying and where he lies. Lift him up and take him by the hand, for I will make of him a great nation. God speaks a word to a single sister, a single mother who's crying out in the midnight hour, praying for her crazy and wayward son. A mother who's crying because her son is getting child support but no visitation. A mother who is crying, wondering where is daddy. But God says, lift him up, I got you. Your absentee father may not got you, but I got you. God says, lift him up. I will make of him a great nation. Even if his father isn't around, I will be his father. I will teach him how to ride a bike. I will teach him how to drive. I, God, will teach him how to shave. I will teach him how to be a man of God. And he will treat the next one better than your baby daddy taught you. I know that you can't be both mother and father because you have to work and go to school and deal with the crazy family. God says, I got you. And as I begin to think about the first single mother in your Bible, I begin to think, maybe I can make it. But I can't leave with four kids, so I need to stay where I am. And I find myself here, settling for any affection and intimacy that I can get. What God is saying to at least four of you this morning, that it is better to be a single mother where it's just you and God, on your Tuesday night date nights where it's just you, the Bible, and some candles. That is better than settling and kissing frogs, hoping that they will complete you. What God is saying essentially is, you can do bad all by yourself. The scripture reading says, who can find a virtuous woman? Meaning that you shouldn't have to find a virtuous man. If you're running after a man, I suggest to you, you don't have to wait to exhale, waiting for a warm body to just be on the bitch. Brother, if you can't add to me and add to what I'm trying to do, please let me be and get this step in. But what do you do when you're married to the frog and he still doesn't change? Jacob comes in from the field and I go out to meet him looking good. And I say, brother, you got to sleep with me. I have hired you for with your son's mandrakes. So he slept with me that night. And I thought that when I got married, I thought that when he committed his life to me, hear this, that I could change him. I thought that when we got married, I could control him. But since he won't love me, I'll just cope the best way I can. Your Bible says when Jacob first met me, he judged me by how my body looked. When he met me, he thought I was a doll. He judged me based upon unrealistic expectations. Genesis 29:17 records that I have weak eyes. But my sister has a lovely figure and she's beautiful. All you see is what's wrong with me. You compare me to my sister and all you see is my defects. All you see is my flaws. Why won't you love me for who I am? Not for what's missing in your own life. You judge me by my looks, but we'll keep it rated PG this morning. You were surprised at the wedding. You judge me based upon how my body looks. Well, what about you, Jacob? I know that you have smooth skin and strong muscles, but you ain't perfect. You have your own mommy and daddy issues. You have a past like everybody else. You're not Prince Charming. Don't get it twisted. You're not God's gift to women. And you giving me a guilt trip, having me take these Zumba classes and spinning classes and aerobic classes so you can feel better about yourself? Child, please, I don't care what my eyes look like, what my dress size might be, or what my shoe size might be. If I have confidence in myself, then I can be a fair Jewish woman. I don't need no crazy brother trying to define how I look. You define me by how my body looked. But then you define me based upon what you thought my body could do for you.